You have your Bibles, let's open them up to Acts chapter 4. Looking today at verses 13 through 33. We're not going to read them all first, but we are going to read the first few verses here, starting in 13. And notice it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do with these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name.' So they called them and they commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.'" Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the example of these men that went before us. Boldness by the power of the Spirit, not to be afraid to speak the word of God in truth, no matter who they were standing in front of, and no matter who was opposing them. And Lord, we need this boldness today. It is not something of the natural man. It is something of the supernatural man. It is not something that we can work up in our own strength. It is something, God, that you have got to do in us. We need your Spirit. We need your power. We need your boldness so that we can, God, give the testimony to the world that you've called us to give, especially in days when the walls are closing in on the name of Jesus. And people, even in this nation, don't want to hear it like they used to. So Lord, we as your church, help us to rise up. Help us to be filled up. Help us, Lord, to lift you up. And we pray, God, that even today, as you feed us and you teach us, you would not only instruct us, but fill us fresh with your Spirit. Give us the boldness we need, God, to be the witnesses you want us to be today, all this week, and the rest of our lives. Give us that boldness, Lord, and teach us how to get it as we seek your face. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today we finish up looking at a higher authority. You know, we started last week looking at this, and remember the scene. Peter and John were up on the Temple Mount, and they had healed the man who had been paralyzed for over 40 years. All the people came together. They gave the gospel. Over 2,000 or somewhere around 2,000 give their life to the Lord. The Sadducees get upset. They bring the captain of the temple police. They come and arrest them. They throw them in prison and they keep them overnight. And now we're going to see today them brought out of the prison to be this testimony to the Sanhedrin. And it's interesting because not only are we called to be a witness to those around us in the world, sometimes we're called to be a witness to our authorities. And maybe even governmental authorities. And this was the case for Peter and John, to stand before the governmental authorities. Remember, the Sanhedrin in their day is the same as our Congress and Senate in America today. They were the governing body. Yes, the spiritual body, but the governing body as well of the nation of Israel. And so it would be like, as we said last week, us being called up before the Congress to tell why we're preaching Jesus Christ. And we're going to see them today refuse to back down. Now, that would be an intimidating thing, wouldn't it? To stand before the Congress and Senate and them say to you, you need to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. And if you preach any more in the name of Jesus, we're going to throw you in jail or we're going to do whatever and all the threats. And you know they have the authority to do it. See, that's when the rubber hits the road, guys, to making a true and firm statement for Jesus Christ or not. And I want to tell you, without the power of the Holy Spirit, most all of us would fail that. There may be some by their very nature and they're just flat out stubborn that could do it. But for me, I would fail that test greatly unless God gave me the power to do that. Peter had already failed it. He'd already proven that he couldn't even stand up to a servant girl. And now we see Peter in front of the same people that Jesus stood in front of saying, you know what? You crucified him. You need to repent. And you're the blame for all this. And he's going to give this testimony as we see this today. So again, the story continues on in a powerful way. Now, we said last week, remember in Romans 13, that whenever our governing authorities are over us, and whatever governing authorities rather are over us, we're to come under those governing authorities at all times, except for one time. There's one time we don't come under the governing authorities, and that's when they tell us to go against the word of God. And so Peter and John now are in a place where their governing authorities are asking them to go against the word of God. They've been kept in prison overnight. They've been brought out. They're now going to tell them to shut up and move out. Don't say anything else. And we're going to see what God does in their hearts. Notice starting here in verse 13, now they've been brought up. They're standing before the Sanhedrin, this governing body, if you will, of the entire nation of Israel. And it says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. This is loaded. What a verse. Notice, first of all, it says they looked at them and saw that they were uneducated and untrained men. What that means is they hadn't been to the Bible college or seminaries of the day. These guys had simply been following Jesus. And by the way, there's nothing wrong if it's a good Bible college or a good seminary, but if you haven't been to Bible college or seminary, does that keep you from being used by the Lord? Did you know that none of the disciples went to Bible college? Zero, except for Paul. And then when Paul came to the Lord, he said, you know what? I'm throwing all of this out. He said, every bit of it's like dung to me. He said, I want to learn from Christ. I want to listen to him. So what qualifies you to be a minister of the Lord is not some piece of paper or some college degree. What qualifies, which can be okay in certain instances, but what qualifies you is spending time with Jesus, seeking him, learning from him, spending time in his word, learning how to study, how to rightly divide the word of God. So I love this verse. They say they're untrained and uneducated. My question would be, by whose standards? Maybe by the Sanhedrin standards or by the modern day standards, or they hadn't been to Bible college, but not by God's standards. These were the guys, man. These were the ones the Lord raised up. The teacher was their master teacher. They traveled with him. He trained them. He educated them. And he's still doing that by his Holy Spirit. But I love this. I think the thing I love the most about this verse is not just the fact that they're stymied by the fact these fishermen, who they thought should know nothing about the Bible, had all this obvious wisdom and all this obvious knowledge. And where is it coming from? They haven't been to our university type thing. But notice the key is the last thing they said. They could tell that they had been with Jesus. Isn't that great? Guys, can people tell we've been with Jesus? Honestly, when people meet me, can they tell I've been with Jesus? When people meet you, can they tell you've been with Jesus? They should be able to. Why? Because we should have been with Jesus, right? Spending time with the Lord in the word and in prayer. And my greatest desire is that when people are around me, they can say, you know what, that guy's been with Jesus. Because I can tell you when I haven't been, there's nothing you want to hear from me. I can promise you that. As a matter of fact, you want to stay as far away from me as you can. I know me without Jesus. And even with Jesus, I'm still a mess. But I want people to be able to realize I've been with Jesus. And you need to want people to realize you've been with Jesus. It comes through prayer. It comes through time in the word. It comes through boldness and being a witness for the Lord. You don't care what people think. You don't have a fear of man any longer. You're just saying, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to serve you. And so that should be a prayer we all pray. God, let people see that I've been with you. And then be with him so they can realize that. And so notice this. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. How powerful is that? You know, people can deny our testimony. They can deny the words we say. They can say they don't believe the Bible. They can say, I don't want to hear that Jesus stuff. But people that see the change in your life, they can't deny that. People that knew you before you came to the Lord and then know you after you came to the Lord, they can't deny it. I remember, again, before I was with the Lord, all the friends that I had in the world. And then after coming to the Lord, my friends, and I would go back to them, and I remember sharing with them, and I'd love to say they all gave their life to the Lord. You know, I'm such a powerful evangelist. I'm not, actually. But they, you know, I wish I could say I shared with them and they all just gave their life to the Lord. No, they didn't. But here's what they couldn't deny. They couldn't deny that Mark was this way one day and Mark was this day the next. And they were talking about it. What's happened to Mark? He's lost it. You know, he used to be a lot of fun. He used to whatever this and that in the world standards. And now he's got all this Jesus stuff going. They saw the change in my life. They saw the power that God had done. See, people around you see that as well. There are people in your life that see the change in your life. They see the power in your life. They can't deny it. They may not agree with your theology. They may not agree with your doctrine. They may not believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven when you tell them that. But you know what they can't deny? They're going to walk away from there going, that person was real. That person has been with somebody, whether it's Jesus or something else spiritual. That person has something in their life that's real. That's what you have to offer. And that's what we have to offer, you know, as we take the gospel out to people, as they see us and they go, you know what? This is an undeniable thing. Something has happened here. And here's the guy that for 43 years was paralyzed. Standing with him, what are you going to say to that? You know, he's faking it. Well, okay, right. You know, again, I remember, you know, sharing with people about the way I used to be and the way I am now. And they would say, that just doesn't happen. There's no way you could have been living that way and the next day living that way. I said, yes, it did. Now, the people that knew me saw that, but the people that didn't know me, you know, wouldn't see that. But it's like, you know, when they know you, it's like you're standing right there. They can't deny it. So this man is standing there. The evidence is right in front of them. They can't say anything against it. It's a living, unrefutable testimony. And that's what you are, guys. You're a living, unrefutable testimony. You know, sometimes people say to me, Mark, how do I share my faith? I'm scared to share my faith. First of all, pray for boldness. But then they're always concerned about, what if I confront them? And I say things like, you know, you're a sinner and you need to give your life to Jesus. Well, all those things might be true, but you know what you can also do is begin just to share your life. I was a sinner. I was living this way. I was living apart from God. And here's what happened. Someone shared with me that Jesus died on the cross. See, now you're sharing the gospel. See what's happening? You're not confronting them. You're sharing about your life, but you're sharing the gospel. I was just living my life and Jesus came and he saved me and I heard that he died on the cross and that he resurrected 3 days later and somebody said that I could know him in a personal way and it wouldn't just be religion. So I said, okay, Lord, if that's real, I want you to come into my life. I want to meet you. I don't want religion anymore. Religion bores me. Religion has left me empty. I want to know you. I want something real. And Jesus Christ came into my life and he changed my life. He set me free from things I was doing that was wrong. He gave me a brand new life. And I've been serving him ever since. And now I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. Isn't that great what the Lord did for me? And as you share that, what have you just done? Share the gospel in power. How are they going to deny that? You're lying. You're making all that up. Well, they can say that. But if they knew you before and they know you now, they know you're not lying. Because they knew what you were like before. It's the power of God. This man was a walking testimony to the power of God. There's not a thing they could say against it. And notice in verse 15, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Now, this is amazing to me. How hard does a heart have to be to do this? Rather than saying, whoa, guys, we got to rethink this Jesus thing. I mean, I know we really all probably feel really guilty here. We put him to death. We crucified him. And we believe with all of our heart that he was a fake, that he was a phony. But you know what? These people that are walking in his name, they've got real power. I mean, you think about it. I mean, the things that Jesus did, this doesn't just happen. I think we're in big trouble here. I think we need to cry out to God and repent. You would think that there would be something that would stir them to say, I need to repent. But it's amazing when a heart is hard against the Lord, how hard a heart is against the Lord. I mean, these guys, rather than saying, I need to rethink where I'm coming from and who I am and my theology and all that, rather than saying that and agreeing with the Lord and his word, what do? We got to shut these guys up. Somehow we got to keep them from talking. How sad is that? Amazing how hard the heart can get whenever, you know, we just choose to reject the Lord. These guys chose to reject the Lord. And notice, but they said, so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak no longer in the name of this man or speak in his name. And just get them to be quiet about Jesus. No more talking about the Lord. Pass a law. Make an ordinance. You can't do that, you know. And again, we think about that in America, guys. Listen, we think, yeah, but in America we're free. Here's my question. How much longer? How much longer are we free? Do you guys feel the walls closing in? Does anybody else feel that besides me? As a pastor, I get asked to certain functions to share, and I've literally had people say, please come and pray, but don't mention Jesus. I'm like, what am I coming? Am I coming in the name of Mark? I come in the name of Mark to pronounce a blessing on you. How sad is that? Oh, great, Mark, pronounce a blessing, right? I come in the name of Jesus, the God of all the universe, of heaven and earth. I'm going to pray for you in his name, and he's going to bless your lives. Isn't that awesome? That's what we do, guys. We come in his name. But now it's becoming politically incorrect. We know how that works. And it's starting to happen where first they pull it out of all the council meetings and out of the different things and whatever, this kind of stuff. The bottom line is, if we think we're not facing this in America today, we're sadly mistaken. It's not like it was then, but it's starting to happen. Now, here's where I'm greatly encouraged. They were way worse than we are. They didn't want them to speak at all, anywhere. I mean, this is their Congress. Their Congress just basically is saying, we're passing a bill. You can't preach or speak in the name of Jesus anywhere in the nation of Israel. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? And we're going to see these guys say, you know what? You pass the bill you want. We're going to preach Jesus. That's bold. And we need that kind of boldness. And here's the thing. We don't face that in America yet. And I hope we never do. But what I'm saying is they did face it and they still were used more powerfully than any church in world history. Isn't that amazing? Well, I hope they don't pass any laws that say we can't preach in the name of Jesus. Hey, it won't be any different than it was for them. And if God reached the entire world through this group, he can reach the entire world through this group. You follow me? It's boldness. God, give me boldness. Let me not be afraid. You know, sometimes I think about Congress and Senate. I just want to be bold with my friends, you know. I want to be bold with the person on the street. I want to be bold with the person that I know I need to share with. And if I'm struggling in boldness for that, how we need to pray for greater boldness. What happens if we're thrown in front of a TV camera? What happens if we're right on the stage and God gives us an opportunity? That's why I say we need to be praying for these guys, even up there in Aurora, Colorado, with this terrible event that just happened there in the movie theater. There's going to be Christians that are going to be given an opportunity to share something. We need to pray that they're bold and say, this is horrible, but Jesus loves you. And you have a chance. You know, if something takes our life today, you know, God forbid that something like that ever happened here, where somebody bursts in and lives are taken. God forbid that happened. But here's the thing. If it did, we know where we're going. If somebody takes our life, they don't take anything, do they? They just rush us on in the presence of the Lord. You know, and it's not really a rush to the presence of the Lord because God knew the timing of that day. The Bible says the day of our death for the believer is greater than the day of our birth. So it's nothing to fear. We're not to be afraid of that. But at the same time, we have to be bold to say, God, give me boldness. I've got to be able to do this. And these guys, man, Peter and John, they are bold. I love it. Don't you speak in this name. They're going to pass laws. Verse 18, so they called them and they commanded them to not speak at all. Notice that. Not just, don't, just do this in your church. Keep it in your church and we'll be okay. It wasn't even that. It was, you can't do it in your church. You can't speak the name of Jesus anywhere. And this is where I said, when the government goes beyond the word of God, there's a higher authority. We must obey God rather than man. And that's what they're about to tell them. You can't do this at all anywhere and teach in his name, they say. Verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said to them, I love this. I have it underlined. Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. Wow. You know, you're the official college professors at the Bible college. You're the ones that are supposed to be leading our nation in the spiritual things. Whether it's right to listen to you more than God, you judge. But I love this. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We have no choice. We have no choice. Here's what the gospel says. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. We have got to do that. But Mark, religion's a private matter. Really? Jesus didn't say that. The enemy says that through people, but Jesus didn't say that. What did Jesus say? He said, shout it from the rooftops. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, what you hear in the ear, shout from the rooftop. Now, I don't encourage you to climb on anybody's roof, all right? So I was like, Pastor Mark said, you know, get out from there, right? Zacchaeus, come down. I don't know. No, but we're to preach the gospel, guys. Now, that doesn't mean obnoxious, okay? We're not to be obnoxious, number one. Do it in love. Number two, what if they don't want to hear it? What do? Leave them alone. You don't force the gospel. Force feed the gospel. You know, I had my little doxy ate about, I don't know, 20 or something chocolate kisses the other night. Somehow found the chocolate kisses bag. And that stuff's poisonous for dogs, right? So she's looking really sick. And we find all the wrappers. Some of the wrappers we found were missing later on because she'd eaten them. And we found out what you have to do is you have to get, like, according to, you know, the vet, you get a little bit of hydrogen peroxide, a small amount, and you shoot it down their mouth and make them throw up. So we did, and here comes this big chocolate mess everywhere, right? But the bottom line is that, guys, a lot of them really have no idea why I shared that. No, I'm just kidding. I do. You know, there are times, guys, that we have to make sure that, you know, that we just, you know, and I did really forget what I was going to share with you. That's too funny. I made my joke and then I forgot what I was going to share. It'll come back to me in a minute. What was it? Force feeding. Thank you. This was force losing. But anyway, all right. Thank you. Yeah. You know, if you force feed somebody, guys, it's going to make them sick. It's all it's going to do is make them sick. You know, you're sitting there and you're trying to push the gospel on them. We don't want to give them so much gospel that they just say, you know what, get out of my face. If somebody says they don't want to hear it, then stop. The Lord said, don't throw pearls to swine. And he's not calling the unbeliever a pig. That's not the point. It's a picture saying, look, a swine is used to mud. They're used to the things of the world. You don't want to put a pearl necklace on them. And if we force feed them, then, you know, all they're going to do is shoot some worldly hydrogen peroxide down their mouth. And there go all the, you know, kisses of the Lord. They're gone, right? Sorry, I'll stop with that analogy. Let's move on. Tracy always tells me, just don't give all the details of those pictures you give, you know. But the bottom line is, guys, we don't force it. We're not obnoxious, and we don't force it. We share it. And when they say they don't want it, we say, fine. Remember Jesus, when he went across to the Gergesenes and the demon-possessed men, he releases the demons from the men, and the city comes out. Remember, they go into the swine, speaking of swine. They go into the swine, all the demons. The swine run down the hill, and they all drown. And then the city comes out, and they say, leave. We don't want your gospel here. Get out of here. We don't want to hear about this. The Lord didn't say, stand back. I'm bringing it whether you want it or not. Follow me, men, you know. You know what it says? You know what it says he did? It says he got in the boat and went back to the other side. God doesn't call us to force people to receive Christ. Now, I've tried that in my younger years. You know, get out of the Holy Ghost machine gun and fill them with all your scripture. And then he said this, and then he said, you know. And I may sound like a lamb, you know. But all it did for me was drive people away. They said, that guy's a nut. He's driving me crazy. Leave me alone. And so God had to temper me over the years and say, Mark, back off. Speak the truth. Do it in love. Don't be obnoxious. If they don't want to hear it, stop. But you know what? Go to somebody else. Because don't ever stop preaching the gospel. And now they're asking them to stop preaching the gospel. They say, we can't. We have to do this. Notice verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. Well, what are you going to do? You can't deny it. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had taken place. And so notice that when they used their scare tactics, they found that it didn't work, so they tried to scare him more. Why did it not work? The power of the Holy Spirit and the undeniable work of God. They couldn't be quiet. And if God has truly touched your life and set you free and done a work, nobody can keep you quiet either. It doesn't work. You know, it's like somebody trying to tell you, well, you can't really know the Lord. You can't really have a personal relationship. When you've met him, nobody can tell you that because you've met him. And so we have to be bold with that and pray for boldness. Now, notice what happens. That's phase one. They make the stand on the gospel. God gives them the boldness for the gospel. And now in part two here, as we finish up, we see where they got the boldness to share the gospel. Because this is what they've been doing the night before and the day before. And now we're going to see this is what they did as a group afterward. And that is prayer and prayer for boldness. Notice verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So they went back to their church friends, basically said, listen, here's what happened. And they told us no longer to preach in the name of Jesus, but we need to pray for boldness, guys. God is moving. 2,000 people got saved. We can't be shut up. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God. And notice now they're going to begin to enter into this corporate prayer. And I want you to notice the form of this corporate prayer, the elements of this corporate prayer, especially when you're facing something that seems so much greater than you that it's overwhelming. Is anybody in here today facing something that seems so overwhelming to you that you feel like there's no way it could ever happen? If that's you, this is how you pray. Notice the first thing they do. They lifted their voice to God with one accord and they said, Lord, you are God. I love it. Recognizing he is God. That one statement just clears the way. Listen, if he is God, everything else falls into place. If you can believe the first verse of the Bible, the rest of it is a piece of cake. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Piece of cake. If you've got that, the rest of it's a done deal. And so they start out with God. You are God. And notice they declare who he is, showing his greatness, reminding themselves of his greatness, and encouraging themselves of the God they're standing before. You who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. I'm speaking to a God who has all authority and all power. Now, does that help you in your prayer life or what? Well, this is too big for you. Wait a minute. He's the God that created heaven and he created the earth and he created everything that's in them. God created everything. He's all powerful. There's nothing that God can't do. Listen, do you believe today? I don't know your situation, but do you believe today there's nothing that God can't do? Do you really believe that? How big is your God? I know you might be saying, oh, I do believe, but I have unbelief. Okay, then pray like the man did when his child was possessed and he wanted him healed by Jesus. He said, do you believe that I can do this? And he said, Lord, I believe, I love this, but help my unbelief. Isn't that great? Be honest with him. I believe you can do all things, God, but it's going to take the God of heaven and earth for this one. Then cry out to the God of heaven and earth because he can do all things and he will move on your behalf. And so the first thing is they acknowledge who he is. They acknowledge his greatness and his power. So they realize who they're praying to and that there's no limit to what their God can do. Notice verse 25, who by the mouth of your servant David have said. Now they begin to quote scripture. Reminding yourself who God is and then quoting scripture. What a great other principle to use in prayer. Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. What they're saying is exactly what you said, what happened in the Bible is what's happening. The rulers and the leaders are coming against you, Lord, but you said that you were going to take them. See, what they don't say in this prayer, if you go back and read Psalm 2, it goes on to say, he who sits in the heavens will laugh. The nations are gathering against him, but he said, they're going, are you guys really think you can take me? You really believe you can conquer God. You really do. You're really going to outlaw the gospel. You're really going to say nobody can speak into you. You really think you can take me. I mean, the Bible says he laughs at that. It's humorous to him because we don't realize how weak we are compared to his power. And so what they're saying is, God, you are great, and the nations are nothing. We're going to believe in you to do this. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. So that's true. Note this, but who was still in control of it? Look at this. To do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. You see, even when people oppose God, he's still in control. Do you realize when any nation or any people or things are falling apart in the world, God is still in control? Do you realize that? Is your life falling apart this morning in some way? Something's happening right now, it's all falling apart. Guess who's still in control? I think the hard thing for me when my life feels like it's falling apart is just to sit there and trust and say, all right, it feels like everything's falling apart. But Lord, you're in control. It says that you're on the throne, you're in control, all of my days are numbered and ordered. I'm going to try to rest in you. I mean, typically, I'm everywhere. You know, the panic sets in, all the things until God calms me down. But we have to get to the place where we realize, guys, he's in control. He's running the show. God's doing this. Even if everything is chaotic, he's running the show. And they acknowledge that. So it's good. Again, they acknowledge his greatness. They acknowledge his word. Now they acknowledge that even though everything is falling apart, he's in control. These are all great principles for a prayer of desperation, or really any prayer that we might have. The Lord knew it before. Notice, it's all determined before. Verse 29, they state that. Now they say, now the prayer, now, because of all this. Now, Lord, look on their threats. I love this prayer. And grant to your servants that with all boldness, they may speak your word. Oh, God, you see them threatening us. You see them, Lord, passing laws that we can't, you know, do this and do that. Give us boldness because we need to do it anyway because you've told us to. Give us boldness and let us not be afraid. What a great prayer. And God is going to give them boldness. He had given them boldness, and he's going to give them more boldness in a moment. But notice they say, look, continue the miracles, because it worked. Look at verse 30. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through your name and your holy servant Jesus. It's like, Lord, you do this, and we'll give you all the glory. We'll say it's because of Jesus this is happening. And when they had prayed, I love this. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And this wasn't California. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Wouldn't it be great if we prayed and everything started shaking? Now, it would only be great if it was really God. Because if it was an earthquake, that wouldn't be good. But can you imagine praying and nothing but in here just began to shake? Like, whoa. It's hard to imagine what that would have been like. And I don't know that the Lord could do that. He could even do that today. That, I don't know that the Lord will do that. I don't necessarily expect it, not because I lack faith, but because this was a special moment where the nation was turning against them and they needed power and God was moving in a great way and the church was born and all that. But can you imagine this to be there and the place began to shake, you know, and then God filled them with his spirit for boldness, you know? And we're going to pray a prayer before we're done today. When we finish here in just a minute, we're going to pray this prayer. And ask God to give us this boldness to be these witnesses that God wants us to be, because we need this witness. And so they do it. Notice verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul, and neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Guys, note this. When the nation was turning against them, when people were against them, they prayed out to God. They recognized his authority. They recognized his power. They declared his word as true. They asked him to fill them with boldness. God did it. And notice what happens. They walked in greater power, grace and power. You know, I don't look forward to things getting worse for Christians in America if that happens. I'm not saying it will. But if it does, it's not something I look forward to. I kind of like the way things are in America. I kind of like being free and being able to speak the gospel and gather together without having fear and all that. But if it ever does, always remember how God did this in the early church, guys. We've got to realize he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And if this happens in America, we will have great power. We will have great grace. We will have great testimony and great witness and probably be used in greater ways than any of us ever dreamed or imagined. Because God is going to make sure that the church is not stopped. The Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail. against the church. And so until the rapture takes place and we're out of here, guys, we need to be about our Father's business. We need to be sharing the gospel and reaching out to all those that'll listen. And those who won't, we let them go. Those who will, we share the gospel. And so, you know, God says, as we finish this today, listen, here's the challenge I have for you. Are you ready to make an uncompromising stand for the Lord no matter what? Now, I know some of you are like me. You've got that same mindset of Peter right there. Yes, yes, I'm ready. I'll make any stand I need to make. Though everyone else deny, I will be super Christian, right? You can't do it. You can't do it. I can't do it. Peter couldn't share with a little servant girl away from the Sanhedrin. And now all of a sudden, Peter's standing in front of the Sanhedrin saying, you killed him and you better repent. And you know what? I know you're telling us that we can't by law speak anymore. We're going to. And it wasn't in pride. It was in boldness and power, conviction of the Lord. We need that. We need that boldness. We need that power. We need that conviction of the Lord. The question is, we can say, yes, okay, I'm ready to do that. I'm ready to say I'm going to be uncompromising. But guys, here's the second step. There's the boldness. How do we get it? Prayer. If you're not asking God to fill you with His Spirit and to give you boldness to be able to do that, it's never going to happen. So there's a 1-2 punch here. We say, all right, Lord, I'm committed right now to being a witness for you and sharing you and not backing down. But I recognize that I can't do it without the power of your Spirit. So God, you're the God who created heaven and earth. You're the God who said that everyone would oppose all these things. Now give me boldness so I can do that. Guys, if that's you, if you want to pray that prayer, then let's pray it together. Let's ask God to help us to make that commitment to be His witnesses and His testimony. But then ask God to give us boldness, because without His boldness, we can't do it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the witness of Peter and John. And the fact they were brought before the Congress of their day and laws were being passed or where they could no longer preach the gospel. But in boldness, they did it anyway. They weren't afraid, Lord, of the leaders there in Israel, because they knew there was a higher authority. And they knew, God, that you'd said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And they knew they needed boldness to do that. So they cried out to you to do that. Lord, I just pray you would help us to be those that are not afraid. We're not afraid and we're not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power unto salvation for all. Who cares if they think we're cool? God, I pray you give us a heart that we would be a fool for Jesus, if it means standing up for you in the face of everyone saying that we're ridiculous. Lord, give us that love. Give us your Holy Spirit filled up to overflowing, and let us purpose in our heart to say, we're going to stand for Christ. We're going to say what's right and do what's right. But God, we know from Peter's example that the best heart and the best desire is going to fail without your power. Lord, I believe Peter, he really meant it. When he said, I will not deny you, he meant it. But Lord, he didn't have the power. As you told him, his spirit was willing, but his flesh was weak. And Lord, there's some here today, their spirit's willing, but their flesh is weak. I just pray that God, even now, as we pray this prayer, that you would give us boldness to make a stand. Father, we pray with the disciples 2,000 years ago. We acknowledge you as the God who created heaven and earth. All power and authority has been given into your hand. And Lord, though the nations rage, and though people rage against us and try to stop us from being a witness and sharing the gospel, Lord, it says that you will sit from heaven and laugh at their opposition, because you have all power and you have all authority. And Lord, I pray that you would now fill us with your Spirit, fill us with your boldness, fill us with your power, fill us with your authority, God, not arrogance, not pride, not obnoxiousness, love and truth and power and boldness. God, shake this room. And if you don't shake this room, shake our spirit. Shake our heart right now in the name of Jesus. Shake our hearts, God. Stir us to the very core, that we will just not only commit in word to being those witnesses you've called us to be, but that we would have the power from on high to back it up. God, pour out your spirit. Move among your people. Let us be those witnesses in the generation you've given us to carry your name and to carry your banner. And God, we give you glory. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing. Let's just receive that from the Lord. Just receive that boldness. Begin to ask Him for it. And to ask Him to fill you with His Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Fill us, Lord. Give us boldness and use us for your glory. We bless your name, Lord. Thank you, God, for your goodness to us. And thank you, Lord, for your word that strengthens us and your Spirit, Lord, that fills us. And we bless your name. And we ask it in Jesus' holy name.